Oh, come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got through. 35, 30.
Logan intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
And hi again, everybody. Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live here from the Quest Diagnostics Training Facility in East Rutherford, New Jersey. I'm Paul Dottino. He's David Deal. We've got 1 hour to take your comments and questions about the New York Giants as they prepare to take on the Philadelphia Eagles Monday night at Lincoln Financial Field. Our phone number is 201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. Or on Twitter, you can hit us up at hashtag GiantsChat. And if you're a little embarrassed, maybe you don't want to make that phone call, you can always get us on the electronic device, and we'll see if we can get to your comments and questions during the show. The big news today, David, we talked about it on the MSG press conference live show just about an hour ago. Tom Coughlin announcing Prince Amukamara has a pectoral injury. They're looking at 2 to 4 weeks without him, and certainly that is a significant blow to this defense.
It most certainly is, because everybody knows in Steve Spagnuolo's system, when you want to apply pressure, when you want to get after the quarterback with a blitz, you've got to have that confidence in both of your corners that they can hold up on one-on-one man coverage so that they can allow the pressure to get home and get to the quarterback, and you don't get any easy big throws to kill the blitz for any type of offense that you're going up against. So to have this loss at this point in the season, I mean, it's just another unfortunate thing that the Giants' defense now has got to overcome, and they've got to find it, whether it's with McBride coming in as the starter, who I believe, you and I both believe that McBride will be the starter, and then in those third and longs and those nickel situations, Jaron Holsley has got to prove who he is as a football player and help this Giants defense, because if they do not play disciplined, sound football, especially at that corner position, that's where you see the Philadelphia Eagles offense and Chip Kelly wave off their coordinators, and they will roll their offense from the time that the tackle is made to the next time where they snap the ball. It's 17 seconds, so you don't have the time to rotate your personnel from the sidelines on the field, and they just want to ramp everything at you, especially if they see your defense in one high. That's where they're going to stretch the field. They're going to attack vertically and try to put you on your heels.
Now, it's easy to overlook, David, when you're talking about a defensive back, but the bottom line is Prince Amukamara is darn good in run support. And I have a lot of confidence in Hosley and McBride to be able to cover guys downfield, especially because the Eagles don't have a lot of deep threats down the field. However, the run support issue could be a bit of a concern.
Especially when you're that corner. You're the force. You're the one coming to knife everything from the outside in and force it back to your defense. So it's going to be huge, especially against these three-headed monster of these backs, Murray, Matthews, and Sproles. These are players that are in space, dangerous to tackle, that those open field tackles are going to be huge to make sure that they don't continue to extend drives and get those yards after contact that each one of these backs is capable of doing.
We should take a look at the rest of the Giants injury report, because they've got a lot of guys who are not practicing today. We talked about Robert Ayers last week. It looks like he's going to try to work with a hamstring. Beeson not cleared by his concussion test yet, although I understand he's taking a second one today. They're hopeful he'll be able to work tomorrow. Odell Beckham with that hammy not working today. Jonathan Casillas, calf not working. Victor Cruz not working with his calf. Devon Kennard still not working with his hamstring. McBride with a groin. We think he's going to work today. Tom Coughlin's confident he's going to play, so I think he's working. Justin Pugh's going to work on a sore ankle. Reuben Randall's going to try to go on his bad hammy. And George Selvie's going to try to go on his calf. So if we add this up, David, that's 3, 6, 9, 10, 11 guys on the injury report.
That is not what you want going right now when you're in the lead of the division, heading to a division opponent on Monday Night Football like the Philadelphia Eagles. Regardless of their record, you know that this is one of those heavyweight fights. And you know when it comes down to playing on the road in Philadelphia, it is all about playing disciplined football. But more importantly, it's trying to be at full health, because it is a tough game. It's going to be the team that makes the least amount of stakes. But more importantly, it's going to be the team that gets the game into the fourth quarter and wins the game. The team that has the life, the team that has the energy, the team who wants it more will take over this game in the fourth quarter. And the best way to do that is obviously with your best players.
Do you ever remember playing a game against the Eagles, whether it was here or down in Philadelphia, where you didn't get done with those four quarters and say, holy crap, I just went through a war?
No. And, you know, those are always those physical games, because when you're going into these games, you're not only playing for this season and for your chances to win the division, take over the division, get your home field advantage, and guarantee your way into the playoffs. You're playing this game for pride. You know what the rivalry is between the Giants and the Eagles. You know what these games are about. You know how passionate fans are and the atmosphere that is going to be in Philadelphia this game. So you prepare yourself for all of those factors, because you know that when it comes to Monday night's football game, that each and every detail that you go through during the week, you have to make sure that you are that detail-oriented come the game time. And this is another huge week. When you're playing up against a high-powered offense like this and a defense that wants to do a lot of different things at you, you've got to take a deep breath and you've got to work and go through every ounce of preparation that you can, because that's the only way that this Philadelphia Eagles offense and defense thrives, is because they cause that confusion. They make you think, so that instead of just reacting, they get you that one split second and it's by you. So that's the biggest thing, is these weeks, when you're playing these games, preparation is everything. It's a familiar foe. You know them. They know you. You're going to have different wrinkles this week, but it's about execution and it's about staying ahead of the chains.
You know, the best thing that could happen to the Giants, and we'll get to your calls in about 30 seconds, is that the Eagles dominated the Saints last weekend, 39-17, by far their best performance of the season. So if anybody in the Giants organization was sleeping on Philadelphia, they're not anymore.
No.
Because Philadelphia just put their best stuff on tape.
Not to mention, you know, this is a game that you're not sleeping on, because you understand how important this game is in the division. You understand you have this one and you have a following one. You're not looking forward. We're looking forward, because we know that the Dallas Cowboys game is next. But this is the most important game on the schedule right now because of its implications on the division.
All right, David, let's go to the phone callers. 201-939-4513. Dennis from, is that Miami? You are first on the show. Hello.
Hey, guys. How you doing? David Deal, Paul Dottino. Great honor to speak to both of you. David, can we get you back in a uniform?
I'm good, Dennis. I'm good, but I appreciate it. How's everything going in Florida?
Good. It's nice and warm here today. This is my second call to Big Blue Kickoff Live. My last call was with Jeff and Anita. Pleasure speaking with them. I just wanted to start off with a few comments to the best fan show in the nation, and then a couple of topics for you guys to discuss. Daniel Fells, shout out from G Nation. We're all praying for you and hope to see you back soon.
Yes, we are.
Larry Donnell, Eric Flowers, you continue to impress. We need you guys to continue moving forward that way and stepping up. Shane Vereen, you can't say enough. It was one of the topics I spoke with Jeff and Anita before, is how impressive this young man is on our team and allowing us to make the yardage in situations where we need him to step up, and he's gone above and beyond, as you guys say, the X's and O's. You guys to discuss, I'm curious how your analysis of how Spags is going to prepare for, as Jeff calls, the dink and dunk that we think is coming to us in this Philadelphia game. You know, dinking the ball right over us, and coming in where our linebacker core is now, you know, we're in our reserve guys, and they need to step up. So I'd like to hear your thoughts on that. With Dwayne Harris now being the leader of our receiving core, our guys, you know, Jeremy Davis, Miles White, how do you see them coming in and filling in, if they put Shane in the slot, if they don't? I'm curious on how that's going to work out. And my last comment is, I don't know a lot about Brandon McGee, Xavier Proctor. If you guys could just touch on them a little bit.
All right, first thing I want to just touch on the receivers, because just before we came in here, as the media was allowed to go out to practice, and I'm not going to be able to see anything now, we're in the studio, but Beckham was going to try to work, which
good.
I thought was interesting.
Yeah, that's great.
He was going to try to. Randall was in full gear, and he is working. So don't elevate Dwayne Harris to number one quite yet, okay?
But it's going to be very important for Harris, for Reuben Randall to come in. I know he's dealing dealing with the hamstring. It's going to be very important for whether it's Davis, if he gets the nod, based on what's going to happen with the health of the other receivers. Somebody's
right.
got to step up and make an impact on this team and on this offense, whether it's Donnell, whether it's Davis, whether it's Harris. Somebody's got to step up and make sure that they capitalize on the plays, because they're going to get them. They're going to bracket coverage over to Beckham. They're going to get their opportunities, but they have got to capitalize them. And, you know, we talked about it, how Larry Donnell now is going to have to be used a little bit differently than just being yeah. able to put him out there and let him go out and catch passes, because of Daniel Fells being injured, having to help out in protection and run support, whatever it
right.
takes.
Right.
Those are all key factors going into this game. But I think what you said earlier, one of the things that really opens up things, Shane Vereen. I thought the Giants did a very nice job, and Ben McAdoo did a nice job of making sure that he was getting him runs on first and second down, just not putting him in third where he's catching, so that he's
I can't agree more with that. I mean, they've been utilizing him so effectively that it's amazing that his production.
Well, yeah. I will add this thing to what David was just saying about Donnell. He's been asked to block more with Fells out, but now in this game, you know, you still need his pass threat downfield, because there may be lack of receivers. That
yep.
may mean Nikita Whitlock becomes a little more important as a fullback to help pick up some pressure.
Definitely.
Do you guys see them now paying a lot more attention to Shane Vereen with his escalated role within our offense?
I think that he's gotten that attention, but I think it's magnified when he has the impact on a
right.
game and in a game plan like he did last week, and how he opened up everything else for the offense. So, but, I mean, let's face it. We all know that's why Shane Vereen was
brought here. That's why they paid him.
For this reason.
Dennis, I got news for you. The Seattle Seahawks paid a lot of attention to him in the Super Bowl last year.
Yeah,
a lot of good
did.
It did them.
Yeah. A lot of good it did him, right. Good call on that, Paul. Well, I'm going to let you guys continue talking. Again, I can't say enough. I'm very proud of the way our team has been playing. Keep moving forward. G Nation all the way.
Appreciate it, Dennis.
Thank you so much for the call.
Appreciate it.
The players he mentioned, practice squad additions by the Giants, cornerback Brandon McGee, former St. Louis Ram, and offensive lineman Xavier Proctor, former Detroit Lion. They were added to the practice squad, and the Giants released tight end Dominic Jones from the practice squad, and offensive lineman Adam Geddes, which I will tell you personally surprises me, because I liked what Geddes did. I thought he was a feisty bulldog kind of guard during the preseason, and I am rather disappointed about that one.
I am too. He fought very hard to get onto this team and onto this roster, but when you have injuries like this stacking up, you're going to make moves to help out bolster your roster in other positions. So it's tough to lose a player who earned his spot on this football team, but the Giants are making moves to help them win football games now.
All right, let's go to Dan from Pennsylvania. You're next on the show. Hello, Dan.
Yes, how you doing, fellas? It's a pleasure to talk to you guys. Of course, my wife and I are season ticket holders, and just been, you know, last two games, of course, we'll forget about the Atlanta game, but the last two home games have been great with the two wins that we got. And, of course, I got to talk about the injuries. You guys kind of gave me the information I was looking for with listening to you when you were going down the injury report. I was mainly trying to catch up on, of course, I'm more worried on the defensive end than on the offensive end. Of course, I mean, we know what Beckham is and what he does for us, but I love the practice squad guys and that are playing now. I know Davis, and I know Harris is not a practice squad player, but I feel that, you know, if we do bring in guys like you just mentioned on the defensive side, is probably, especially now with Prince. I heard that this morning. I was like, oh my gosh, but the two guys, I know you probably can't give me any more, but Kennard and Beeson, I'm just like, because we saw what happened when those guys aren't in there. You know, I'm just praying to God that those two were going to hopefully be, you know, especially, well, both of them. I mean, I can't put the emphasis on either one of them. They're so important. and just to emphasize on the fact that I'm just praying that there's a chance, right, that they might play?
Well,
Beeson, what do you think?
Beeson's going through another concussion test today. They're very hopeful because he did well with yesterday's. If he passes today's, then he could be on the practice field tomorrow.
And it is going to be huge. And if I was a Giants fan, I would be praying too right now because of the fact of how the Philadelphia offense functions, the dinking, the dunking. They like to do the shallow crosses with Ertz. They like to get Celek involved in the deep drags, you know, cross once they get all the vertical routes to one formation or to one side. They'll bring them all the way across the formation. And the other biggest factor, like I said, Murray, Matthews, and Sproles are all dangerous catching out of the backfield. We've all seen them make big plays and score touchdowns by just catching little simple swing routes, but being able to win those one-on-one matchups against linebackers. So it's going to be huge to have either one of those guys, if not both, to play this football game on Monday night.
Dan, did you have another point?
No, I didn't. Thanks so much, fellas. Great talking. You know, continue to listen.
Appreciate the phone call. 201-939-4513. David, if I may, I believe that the Kennard injury is actually more painful to the Giants than Beeson. Now, follow me here. I know Beeson is the head quarterback of the defense, and I know he's the guy in the middle, and Unger doesn't have a lot of experience. I understand that.
Yep.
But Kennard, to me, is the Giants' most versatile defensive guy.
Yeah.
And he can blitz off the edge. He can come up through the middle. He plays the run well. We've seen him cover when he had the interception against Clay in Buffalo.
Yep.
For that reason, I think he gives offensive coordinators more to worry about, and I think it's harder to replace him as an individual player.
I agree with you in that aspect because he brings so many different dimensions to a football game, and I think the biggest factor in this one is the discipline to have a linebacker like Kennard who can do both up against this Philadelphia offense that are going to run those zone reads, the read options, where that backside linebacker has to maintain discipline. But at the same time, if it turns into a boot, he can drop into coverage or close. He has that ability. So I agree with you in that aspect, Paul. And it's tough to have him possibly not play in this game and be a scratch because of the impact that he plays, but also the way that each and every game and in his career, he's just gotten better and better. It's bad to have this setback. And
quite frankly, even losing Casillas hurts because of his mobility in that situation.
His mobility, not to mention he is one of the players that you've got to go into another phase of this game, special teams, which is always a huge factor for field position, and there's always a big impact play on special teams that usually puts one team ahead of the other in this game.
All right, folks, let's head to a couple of Twitter remarks if we can. I got to call this up. Again, 201-939-4513, and Giants Chat is our Twitter handle if you want to get some comments in. And, oh, my goodness, no Twitter comments yet this morning? Oh, here we go.
There it is.
Gentlemen, Big Ben Z says, if Snead deserves to be in Ring of Honor, David Deal does as well.
Oh, well, I appreciate it, Ben. But, I couldn't be happier for Chris Snead and for OC Humaniora, two of my teammates, to win Super Bowls with them. OC and I, coming into the same draft class, working together day in and day out in one-on-one pass pro, two-minute drills. He helped me become the best player I could be as an offensive tackle because of the looks he would give me on the opposite side of the ball. And same thing with Chris. Chris and I played on the offensive line together for 10 years, watched film, lifted weights, did everything together.
Ate steak?
Everything. He doesn't look like he eats steak anymore with the amount of weight that he lost. But, it's an honor to see both of those guys go in because they both deserved it.
We have Donald, who is at Tag Rocket, says it's no secret that we are terribly defensively against opposing tight ends. How do we stop Celek?
I know Celek is the one that you're talking about because he had that touchdown last
week.
There's
Ertz, too.
But there's Ertz, and Ertz is a more dangerous receiver than Celek. One of the things that they've been doing now in these past 2 weeks, they've been going a little bit more to tight ends. Early on in last year, they were going all 11 personnel, one running back, one tight end. You're starting to mix more of two tight ends into it because of Celek playing the way that he's playing now. So I think it's going to be a key battle for both. You've got two good tight ends who can receive that maximize their opportunities because of the vertical routes that they run and also the big body Jordan Matthews, who they have at the slot position. he creates those one-on-one matchups when he's running, that whether it's a linebacker or a safety, usually helps to that side, and it opens up things for that tight end.
Omar, who is at Clubhead Pro, says, can the Giants running backs run against the Eagles defense? They're only allowing 3.5 yards a carry.
It's going to be a tough task this week. Fletcher Cox, Benny Logan, Cedric Thornton, who's been hurt a little bit but now has come back. They play a two-gap up front stout, so they're not penetrating into the backfield. What they're doing is they're basically butting head-to-head to either the guard or the center or the tackle. And what they're just trying to do is create as much pile up in the middle to let these fast flow linebackers run things down and just make sure it goes all to where the flow of the defense is. So it's going to be important. But the only way that I think the Giants can open up things inside the middle is they have got to do a good job, which we've talked about all season. They've got to do a good job opening up the lanes for the outside zones and the sweeps to open up things in the middle so you can spread those defensive tackles out. If not, we're in for a long day.
The guys haven't proven they can do it yet.
I know.
So, bit of an issue. One more here. Senor Ruiz says the fascination with the Eagles has got to stop. I will dismiss any Giants fans kissing Chip Kelly's butt. You know what? Here's the one thing. I want to give you a number that we announced on Press Conference Live today. I had come up with this number that the Eagles have 18-3 and outs this season on offense, and their 28% 3-and-out stat is the second highest in the NFL on offense. So when they're not getting it going and their flow isn't working right, they do, because of their hurry-up offense, put their defense right back on the field.
They most certainly do. And a prime example of that was 2 weeks ago in Washington, a game that I covered. That second half of the game, yes, the Philadelphia Eagles offense came back. They came back from being down 13 points. But what happened at the end of the game? Washington had the ball left with less than 2 minutes for a two-minute drive. And what happened to the Philadelphia defense? They wore down. Why? They were on the field for more than two-thirds of the football game. So if their offense can't function, that's based on plays and not on time of possession, they're leaving their defense out on the field for a long time. And that's an advantage that the Giants have to capitalize on. Control the time of possession. Keep Sam Bradford and the Philadelphia Eagles offense off the field so that you can do whatever you can so that the third and fourth quarter, this Eagles defense wears down.
You know, this is why I love the NFL so much, because what David's talking about, if you're going to take full advantage of that, you got to be able to run the ball.
You got to be able to run the football.
It all weaves together, yeah. Kind of like a blanket, doesn't
it? As complicated as this game is, it's really not.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Bill from New Jersey, you're next on the show. Hi, Bill.
Hey, Paul. Hey, Dave. How you doing today?
Couldn't be better, Bill. How are you, buddy?
Good. I completely agree with you guys with the running game. I think that, we have to block better with the tight ends. And my question to you guys is, what do you guys think about the guy, Will Tye, that we had on Sunday that was catching some passes? But my biggest question about him is, do you think he can be a blocker in the run game this Monday coming up?
That's going to be a big thing. And moving forward, how are they going to function with Daniel Fells, who was their best blocking tight end out? One of the callers who called in, our thoughts, our prayers are all with Daniel Fells. We're
absolutely
all praying for you to come back healthy and everything goes well. But having said that, and this Giants offense moving forward, I think you hit the nail on the head. This is where Nikita Whitlock can become that next dimension, whether he's lined up in the backfield, whether he's an H-back, whether you move him and motion him to help out. I think he's going to be the X-factor that can help out in that blocking at the point of attack to really open up things in the run game.
Okay, and one other thing before I'll take it off the air. With Robert Ayers, it seems like he's going to try to practice this week coming up. But if he's in the game, what is the biggest factor with him? Because he seems like he's a good run defender, but man, we really need a pass rush. And do you think that him coming off a hamstring, that he can provide some type of pass rush for us coming up this Monday? And I'll take that off the air. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. You know, David, part of the issue with the Giants right now is that when they do blitz, they've only have one sack off of a blitz defensively,
yes,
too. And I think that, you know, anytime your front four is not getting heat, you want to send extra guys. But then if your extra guys aren't getting home, you run the risk of what's going on in your back seven.
Yep.
And quite frankly, until the Giants blitz, and this is part of the problem with Kennard being out, until the Giants blitz proves that they can get home, teams aren't going to respect it as much.
No, they're really not, and that's the biggest thing. It's not only about getting home and causing sacks, but it's also getting those hits on the quarterback,
yeah,
which the quarterbacks have done a nice job of getting rid of it early. This is where it comes back to Prince being out,
yeah,
leaning on the coverage of
it
the corners.
It weaves together, folks.
It all weaves together, and it all plays together. So I couldn't agree with you more, Dan, but more importantly than anything in this game, like I said, it's going to come down to playing disciplined football, because that's what this offense for the Philadelphia Eagles wants you to do. They want you to panic. They want you to have miscommunication, and they want you to have a breakdown. Defensively, they want to give you all these different looks up front. They're going to give you an odd look. They're going to give you an even look. All they're trying to do is make you overthink things. But if your preparation is on point, if you know your game plan thoroughly, if you know your responsibilities, that's when you capitalize and what we say, let's kill the blitz. They want to sit extra guys? Good. It only means it's a bigger play for us. But what do you got to do? You got to block it up.
All right, fans, don't forget that Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com and enter promo code New York to play for free today. James, are you really from Ecuador? Calling us from Ecuador,
yeah,
for real?
Yeah.
Good
hey,
stuff.
Hey, David. It's indeed a pleasure. Yeah, I'm retired, so I live in Ecuador. But I'm back in Akron right now. I come home for the summers, and then I go back to Ecuador. Extended stay this time due to medical issues. But I got some I'm on Skype, so I want to just fly through some things, and I'll take your if that's okay.
Yeah, we're kind of losing you, so we're going to let you go, yeah, and then we'll try to answer. Go ahead.
Okay, thanks. First of all, the last game against San Francisco, 4th-and-2 toward the end of the game. I was really disappointed in the call to kick a field goal. It just didn't seem like coaches had much faith in the offense. And David, you had to feel something when you decided to go to field at that point in the game when San Francisco was cutting right through us on offense, and they were having their way with us. Going with a field goal, it meant that pretty much Eli was going to have to save the day, but we can't count on that in situations like that and call ourselves a playoff team, I don't believe. I was disappointed. I thought that was a statement call, and he didn't. I just felt as though he didn't have confidence that we could pick up in that situation, and
okay,
I think
James,
it would have given us a big lift if we'd attempted that.
Go to points 2 and 3, then I'll let David comment. I want to get you before we lose your signal, so go ahead.
Okay. Reuben Randle. We've all been waiting for Reuben Randle.
I think we lost him.
I'm sorry.
You still there?
No, I'm here.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I just want to talk about Reuben Randle for a second.
Okay.
We've all been Reuben Randle's surface, as something that he's apparently not. To me, he's a possession receiver that can be effective in the green zone. But you know what? I think we can do better than Reuben Randle. I people got to stop waiting for him to do something that he's not. Like they say, he is what he is, and believe what you see. From Antrell Roll, I think that's his comment. Unga, great player, a great new player. I mean, I love this guy, but I think that pass that San Francisco threw behind him in the end zone, at the back of the end zone, there was a touchdown pass behind him. I think he got caught with that the game before. I think I forget what it was up in Buffalo.
Jason Witten beat him in
yes.
Dallas on a very similar play.
Yeah, and I thought, man, we gotta stop that because teams are picking up on that. Obviously, if it happens twice. So that's pretty much it. From an injury standpoint, we're looking day to day or week to week. We really don't know what we're going to have just because of injuries, and I think that's a sad part of the NFL. It's bringing down the quality of play, obviously. And I just hope we can figure out, or the NFL can figure out what to do so that the injuries aren't you know, injuries are always going to be part of a game, but, Jesus, they shouldn't dominate the game. And I think that they do that. You had a player out. If you had a player that was going to be out, it wasn't going to be that big of a deal. But today, everything is so high-tech that you take a Dez Bryant out, you know, out of the starting lineup, and that changes the whole complexion of their offense. And these days, that's what it is. So anyway, I'll let you go. Thanks for the time. I appreciate it. And David, I'm going to be like the previous caller that says we need you to start suiting up. And I figure that if enough callers are calling on you to do that, you're going to be out there one of these weeks. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you, James. Should I get the hat and start collecting dollars from these people?
No. I'm 2 years away from the last time I put on the helmet and shoulder pads. I'm down probably right now, probably around 55, 58
that
pounds.
Much. Okay.
And I love what I'm doing. But this is why I love what I'm doing. Fans like James calling in and just showing their passion and how much they love the New York Giants. So let's hit on some
Let's go
of these
in reverse.
Things.
I'll take Unga. Okay. Unga was an undrafted guy on the street, okay? And the Giants signed him hoping that he might be something on specials and maybe win a job as a backup linebacker. Well, guess what? He won a job as a backup linebacker. He's not meant to start. He's been forced because of the recent injuries.
Yep.
But honestly, it's a lot to expect him to be perfect when he's inexperienced and he was supposed to be a backup to begin with. So,
not to mention how much the middle linebacker is asked to do
in this defense.
This system. Yes.
Yes. So you got to give him a little bit of leeway. I appreciate that you want him to be perfect every time, but that's not what he is. Randall.
But we can say this experience is only making Unga a better football player.
Oh, yeah.
It is making him develop at a rapid pace that I don't think anybody saw him develop into who he is right now as a player.
And he certainly tries on every play.
Yes, he does.
He's got a good motor.
Effort is not a problem when it comes to him.
All right, Randall. Mixed bag with Reuben Randall. The 900-plus yards last year was probably the quietest 900-plus yards I've ever seen a receiver have, to
it really
be fair.
Has, yeah.
To
I
be
agree
fair.
With you.
Mixed bag.
Yeah, mixed bag. And, you know, this is a point where, as a Giants fan, obviously you are disappointed and you want him playing at full strength because you were expecting big things out of him in this group of wide receiver and skill positions. We all had our high expectations of Victor Cruz, Odell Beckham, and Junior Randall coming into this season fully healthy. He's been banged up by his knees, which has been problems in the past. But I think the biggest factor is here, regardless of whether you're Reuben Randall himself or a Giants fan, his play throughout the rest of the season is going to dictate his future in the NFL. He's playing for a contract right now.
Yep.
He's playing for his future in the NFL. So if he doesn't come up and play the way that we know that he's capable of and seen the flashes of, and if he doesn't do it consistently, then I don't think we'll see Reuben Randall in a New York Giants uniform.
Okay, the question about the fourth quarter field goal, I'm going to give you 2 cents before I give it to David.
Give it to me.
I had no problem with it because you got to take the lead. And in my opinion, okay, my humble opinion, despite the fact that the Niners had some success moving the ball against the Giants, I'm not a Kaepernick guy. And I think he's made a ton of mistakes this year. And I think you take those points, you take the lead, and you say, okay, Mr. Kaepernick, if you think you can drive your team down the field, God bless you. We're going to give you a chance to screw up. I had no problem with the Giants going for that field goal.
You know what? Obviously, as an offensive line, you're always, let's go for it. Let's run it. Let's get it down here. Let's take over this instead of settling for the points. But at the same time, number one, you realize how important it is to get those points to make it a two-possession game. You gamble and you put it on the shoulders of Colin Kaepernick. But I think the biggest thing is you don't let history repeat itself. If they would have went for it, didn't get the first down, and didn't come up with the points, and then we're sitting here having a full discussion. Can we believe they went on it on 4th and 2? They should have kicked the field goal. They should have taken the guaranteed points. You know, we would have been in a position that we would have been guessing it. I think they took the confident choice, go for the field goal, get the points, and put your gamble on Colin Kaepernick not coming up with the play.
Yeah, that's how I felt, David. So in any game, the Giants won the game. So relax.
Yeah. There we go.
201-939-4513. Steve from D.C., you're next. Hello.
Hey, what's happening, fellas? P. Dot.
Hi.
Dave, Dave, man, thank you. Oh, thank you, man. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Bleeding Blood since 1976, man. You know, I know a lot of people say it, but you definitely are one of my favorite players, man.
Oh, thank
I
you,
swear
Steven.
To God you
thank
are,
you,
bro.
Thank
I swear.
You, thank you.
Man, I got to ask, man, I got to ask. One thing before I forget of you, Dave. Listen, I know this might be kind of a big thing. Hopefully it won't be too big. It was huge to me. Next time you come on the show, man, can you wear your ring? Can you wear one of those rings for
yes,
me, man?
Okay. Next
I really
week.
Want to see. I'm a man. Let me tell you something. You talk about a man crush. I just one picture of you, man. Just your hand. Your hand is up, and you're winning, man. Your hand is up. I got this picture of you, man, with your hand up. Your head is so huge, man. You just didn't pay to me a vagina to me, man. I swear to God. Anyway. So
next week, Steve, there will stuff, be a ring.
I had to get,
just for you, buddy.
My man, I appreciate it. I had to get out. Of course, I have to want to, you know, send all the thoughts and prayers of Wood Daniel Fells, man. I can't
sure.
even tell you how down I am about that, and certainly in prayer for him. So I'll try to be quick, guys. You know, first of all, I want to know if you could, you know, talk a little bit. First of all, some great callers. A lot of these guys stole my thunder, so I had to make up some stuff real quick. But anyway, I want to know if you could, you know, tell me a little bit more about what's going on with Brinkley. How do you see him being used? If he'll be used, and I'll keep it short. And you know, DeMonte Moore, you got to step up, man. You got to step up. Where are you, man? I know you had two sacks, two of the quietest sacks I've ever seen last week, man. But we need more of that, nevertheless. And last two things I want to say is, you know, I played D1. And I'm really upset, like everybody else, all these injuries. At some point, a lot of people are blaming you know, the conditioning coach, everything. At some point, soft tissue means exactly what it was when I was playing football. Soft tissue. And coming out of D.C., with my love out of D.C. from the Shakedown crew, we got two words I want to say before I get up out of here. And I'll listen to your comments off air. Man up. Period. That's all I got, fellas. I appreciate y'all letting me, you know, chime in today, man, and if you could just tell me a little bit about Brinkley and, you know, what you think of DeMonte Moore, I appreciate it, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks, Steve.
Well, I'll start off with the DeMonte Moore. This is what I think all of us have been waiting for, is when potential and production finally meet.
It's time.
Consistently.
It's time.
It is time. I don't know how much longer we have to wait. I don't know how much longer the fan base is being patient like we are. But it's time. Somebody has got to step up, and this was your whole plan. I do not need a JPP on the other side. I can create the havoc. I can create the pressure. Well, we're still waiting to see that consistently.
Yeah. As far as Brinkley, I did think last week that he was going to get some snaps, and instead Herzlick wound up being the guy, and he held it down on the outside. So I don't have an answer for you on that. I don't know why they didn't get him in. He'd been around for a few weeks now. I think he pretty much understands what's going on. He seems very astute. I've talked
yes.
to him. But, you know, he's more of a run stopper. Let's make that very clear.
Yes, he is. He's more of a run
stopper. He's not in the space kind of linebacker. So let's see. I don't have an answer for you. Now, the writers who are out of practice while we're in here are telling us that Beckham and Beeson and Kennard are running and or jogging at practice with the trainers. So that's good that they're doing something. Now, of course, Beckham, to me, that's probably the best sign of all, though, because they're not going to on a hammy. And,
no.
and Kennard, too. They're not going to let you do any running.
No.
If they don't think you're going to be okay.
No. If they think that you're going to retweak it or any of that stuff, they shut you down. It's a good sign to see that they're running.
Yeah.
They're doing the stuff after stretching on the side with the trainers. Hopefully that's a sign of what's to come. And you see these guys back on the field at some point, you know, this week. Obviously, we have to still wait to see about the concussion protocol and how they're going to release John Beeson, because until that happens, you're not practicing.
No, not at all. Fans, remember, Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings. Now, if you've never played on DraftKings, it's changing the way we play fantasy football. Just pick your contest, pick your players, and if you win, pick up your cash. Simple as that. Go to DraftKings.com and enter promo code New York to claim your free entry today. Scott from the Bronx, you're next on the show. Hello.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. First, David, I'd like to express I'm a longtime Giant fan going back to the days of Fran Tarkenton and on up. So, again, I think you played the game with integrity. It was incredible, and I appreciate watching you play the game.
Much appreciated. Thank you very much, Scott.
The question is, I have some comments, and then, like, I hope you guys can answer it afterwards. The Giant organization is second to none. We know that. I have to honestly say, though, in the last five years, I've been a little disappointed with the front office and mainly Mr. Reese. I think he's a nice gentleman, but I think he's made some poor decisions. And we're talking business now, okay? Recently, the Giants could have picked up, I'll give one person about the pass rush, Jared Allen, okay? Now, he has a pretty good resume. He's at the tail end of his career, but he has 134 sacks, so he didn't get that by being a mediocre player. And the Giants have a lot of young potential defensive linemen, but no really good pass rushes.
Scott,
and everyone's talking about –
Scott, wait a minute. Scott, I'm going to let you finish, but Jared Allen hasn't done anything for like 3 years.
Right. He's last year he got some type of illness, lost about 40 pounds.
Yeah, he's done basically nothing.
He didn't fit into the Bears 3-4 system because he's not a 3-4 defensive end, but he's not a stand-up outside linebacker. That's why they made that trade, and that's why he went to Carolina.
And I hear you with that, and I hear what you're saying. But the Giants make a lot of gambles, and sometimes you have to make gambles in this business. I'm going to use the comparison where you're saying he hasn't done much in a few years because of the system he's playing in. He's been pretty much a solid player through his career. I think we agree.
Oh, sure.
And, no question.
And what I'm saying here is he doesn't have a long history of injuries. I think here and there, believe as
he was extremely durable for a decade.
Yep.
But then last year with the Bears, five and a half sacks, even though he played the 15 and started the whole way, that's not the kind of guy. I mean, Bears at 5.5. You got guys like that here. You don't need you if you're going to bring in a guy. Here's the one rule of thumb that every GM and coach has when they start looking at the waiver wire and free agents and guys who are outside. They want to know. Is the guy a guaranteed upgrade over the guy that I have? Because if he's not, if he's only even a minuscule upgrade over somebody that we already have, it's not worth the effort or the salary cap money to bring him in. Not to mention you got to teach him your system.
Yep.
But here's my question.
It's a simple equation.
I hear that, but here's my one question here. And, again, I'm a fan. I'm not behind the scenes. There's a lot with coaching and GMs, so understand that. I'm speaking as a fan.
Yep.
I'm also speaking as – here's a perfect example, and you're saying it's a gamble. There's no doubt about it. But he was out of his network, out of his game, rather, being an up lineman or linebacker. His hand is down the dirt. That's his game. He progresses. He hasn't been known to have a very good motor. I think he would be a good mentor, believe it or not, like for Moore, who I think has the potential. We're all waiting to see how he can get that together. I think that would – you would excite with having a person like that. Now, I could be wrong on that. The last thing I like to bring in, and I like John Beeson a lot. I think we took a big, not we, the Giant organization, and as a fan watching the game, they took a big gamble bringing him in. He has a history. When he's well, he's a phenomenal player, but he has a lot of injury-prone, or he's been prone to injuries. I think we would agree with that.
Sure.
I'm watching him on the game last week, and he went out in injury, and it's part of the game. And, David, I know you know this better than anyone else. You got to, you know, certain people, I guess, are more durable than others, but it's like he's on the sideline more than he's on the field. And they paid him a pretty penny there. And I understand it's part of the business. And you guys, don't get me wrong, you guys earn your money. It's a physical, demanding profession that it's short-lived. But the same token, as you look at it as a fan, and Paul, I watch how you describe the old-school methods, okay, and would you bring about that. I don't see that with John. It's not a knock on him personally, not saying he's not giving it, but again, I go back to Mr. Reese. We're rolling the dice too much on players with some injury-prone problems. I see that. Do you think John Beeson was a great pickup?
I think it was a good pickup in light of what it cost you. It was a seventh-round pick.
Yeah.
Or a fifth.
Okay.
It's a fifth-round pick. How many fifth-round picks can give you what he brings you in terms of his leadership, his ability to line up the defense? And quite frankly, you know, he's given the Giants some good plays now. It's not like he's in there and does nothing.
But to sit here and say that injuries haven't been the problem, I mean, we all know that that's the case. It's all about having a healthy player, especially when you're a veteran at this age, to produce at a high level consistently. If you're not on the field playing and not providing that leadership like John Beeson can do, yes, it's going to have everybody draw questions about was it a good move, was it a smart move. But one of the things behind the scenes that, you know, fans don't usually see or don't John Beeson is one of the best guys to have in any defensive room. He pulled Kennard aside and taught him the ropes. He pulls everybody aside and watches film with him. He takes on that leadership role to make sure that everybody takes responsibility for their actions and that everybody's on the same page. And it all starts with him and the way that he's brought everybody into the meeting rooms, the way that he did during this, during this mini camp and during all the OTAs. Yeah. That was John Beeson not teaching everybody, because the coaches can't be there the entire time. John Beeson was teaching this system to the younger guys. So as much as it hurts to have him injured on the field, we all feel the same way as you do, Scott, that it's tough, because we all know when John Beeson's healthy, he can make plays. But the things that he does off the field behind closed doors have been huge for this defense.
Scott, I would only add one thing to you also. John Beeson plays bigger than his body allows. And David, I don't know if that's a clear concept, but there are guys who outperform their body with the kind of player they are and the style that they play, and the body doesn't necessarily fit their kind of game. And I think John Beeson outperforms his body, and as a result, he gets hurt a lot.
Yes.
Well, I mean, the one quick question I can have, if it's all right, gentlemen.
Sure.
Yeah, of course.
Dave, and I think you relate to this on the offensive line, and let me say, first of all, they've done a commendable job. There's room for improvement.
Yes.
I think the first-round draft pick, though I wanted Sheriff, too.
Yeah, so
they didn't get him.
Yep. So did I.
I wanted the dream pool. My dream was the Giants to gamble a little bit and trade up and get Sheriff and our current number one pick, and I would be like in la-la heavenland as a Giant fan watching that offensive line go
to
one
side. You wanted both of them, huh? Boy, yeah. You're not too
greedy. Oh, yeah. I would have traded up. I'm going to give up 3 draft picks for that. I'm sorry. It's me rolling the dice.
I got you.
But the thing on David, on the offensive line, I know they were looking at Jake Long. I know Long had some injury issues. But on the same thing as you mentioned about John Beeson, especially with a young line and a journeyman at the right tackle, give him his due. He's playing to his best of his ability. Wouldn't it have been worth the Giants to make that investment to have, because we don't know what's going to happen with the gentleman, I forget his name, he's out. The tackle's out with the peck injury. He's
Will
out
Beattie,
for later on.
Will Beattie, who, by
Beattie,
the way,
Will Beattie, yes.
Will be eligible after game 6. So we're talking another week.
Yep. I know what you're saying, and I understand there was the talks about Jake Long. Personally, for me, I thought if they were going to make a move with a veteran offensive lineman, I thought Evan Mathis would have been the better pick to bring in, solidify at one of the guard positions so that you have a valuable veteran next to a rookie on the left side, and that would have given you the versatility. Even though as well as Pugh is playing at left guard, it still would have given you the flexibility to move him back out to the right tackle position.
Mathis younger than Long and healthier than Long.
Mathis is younger and healthier than Long. The other thing that they were worried about when it came to Jake Long, obviously his strain of injuries. He's had a surgery after every one of the past 6 seasons that he's played. And the thing that he was saying was he was taking his time to go slow and to make sure that he was fully healed, because if he didn't play this year, he had an insurance policy that would have paid him on the back end for his injury due to his knees. So that's something that you always take into question. You got a veteran who's still worried about, am I still wanting to do it? Am I fully healthy? And if I decide not to, I can still get that money on the side. But if I decide to, I could maybe double dip, get my thing, not play, and then still get the money from the Giants.
Let me make something clear to you, too. When you're talking about a free agent like that, it works both ways. The Giants had him in here twice, which means they were seriously interested in him. But, as David is saying, the player has to want to sign, too. I mean, I'm sure that when Jake Long came in here, he understood the Giants were looking for a tackle, and he had a little bit of leverage in terms of what he was asking.
You know every situation you're walking into, especially when you're a veteran.
Thanks for the call, Scott.
And
go ahead.
His caliber
Thank
with
you
the
now.
Injuries that the Giants have had at that position. So it played into his favor of whether he wanted to take the deal or not and walk. I personally, like I said, even though it could have maybe helped out earlier, I would have liked the selection of, if they were to choose, I would have rather have gone with Evan Mathis than
put
Jake
Pugh Long. Back at right tackle.
Yes.
Fans, don't forget the Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com and enter promo code New York to play for free today. We have about 10 minutes. Go ahead,
David.
To
go back to my thought after you finished our read on our DraftKings.
We
got to
get those folks in.
You just said after week six, they get Will Beatty back. Could you imagine if it was Weston Richburg, Justin Pugh, Evan Mathis, Eric Flowers, and Will Beatty or Newhouse? That's a good offensive line.
You're not going to get any.
No, you're not. Yeah, obviously.
You know how I feel about offensive line.
I know.
Brian from New Jersey, you're next. Hello. We want to try to be quick because I'd like to get everybody in.
Yeah, sure. Hello, gentlemen. Paul, it's always a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you.
I just have two quick thoughts, and I'm gonna open up a question to you. Maybe I can at least listen online. I read that since the San Francisco 49er game that Eli Manning has thrown, I could be wrong about this, he's thrown three interceptions versus 22 touchdowns. I don't know how that fares with other quarterbacks, but he's got to be quietly one of the top two or three quarterbacks in the league.
I don't know. I understand the stat.
Are you saying 22 touchdowns and only three interceptions?
Yeah, since the 49er game. He had a poor 49er game, but continuing from last year into this year.
You're going back.
I'm like 22.
He hasn't played
that. Sorry about that.
You totally lost me. Going back
to the last, we're okay.
All right, I'll look that up while David answers your question.
Last year. Sorry about that. I forgot.
I'll look that up for you. Go ahead.
David, obviously you announce games and also do, you know, other commentary, but it just drives me crazy that these guys have not picked up on how well he's playing. And you know, everybody talks about the touchdown this year and at the end of this game with the 49ers, but I mean, his game is just raising level to level. And I'm not a big stat guy, but I think you have to hang your hat on that one. I disagree a little bit with the gentleman about Randall. I think that I'd rather light a candle and curse the darkness. I still think that he's growing up and he's gonna do well this year. Over 1,000 yards is my prediction. And a question for you: let's assume everybody doesn't play. I know this is crazy. Let's just say nobody on the injury list at this moment plays offensively. How would you attack the Eagles? Do you alter your game plan? How do you tweak that? Maybe no Odell Beckham, maybe Randall, maybe not. Given their defense and how they play, how would you attack them? I'm just curious.
Great question, and that's something that the Giants are going to have to face going into this. Paul, go ahead. Give him the stats.
22 touchdowns and 5 picks since last year's Niners game.
Sorry about that.
But, I mean, I'm not surprised. His second half in the last year was his first year in the Ben McAdoo system. Second half of the season, you clearly saw Eli pick up, get more confident in his footwork, in the dropbacks, and you see it moving forward this year. In regards to going after the Philadelphia Eagles defense, with all these injuries, if the Giants aren't able to find a way to run the football and they become one-dimensional, it is going to be a long day because that is what this Eagles defense thrives upon. I've watched every game that they've had throughout the preseason and regular season. When they get teams in third and long, they'll take Connor Barwin, Graham. They'll take whoever they want, their front four. They'll walk them around. They'll have Kendricks coming up, stepping up, and they'll roam around. And what they want to do is they want to spread out the protection so that players are one-on-one, and then they're going to attack down the middle of the pocket so to make sure that they get somebody in the face of the quarterback to make sure that he gets unsettled, that his feet aren't settled, that he's off balance, thrown off of his back foot. And that's where this defense thrives. They also take a lot of pride in the fact that they said they've been able to stop the run with only 7 down in the box. They haven't had Jenkins or Thurman down. They let those two safeties split because of their ability to come down and tackle in the open field. Jenkins is one of the best safeties
He's really good. In
the open field.
He's really good.
It's unbelievable when you see the plays that he makes. So they have that confidence in those two safeties. The question marks on their defense are the two corners. They've attacked Carroll. All the quarterbacks have gone after him. But Byron Maxwell, who they got from the Legion of Boom, he is the player that has been giving up the big plays and the touchdowns by playing undisciplined and not trusting the way to play in this new defense.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good to me. I'll let you guys get to the other callers, but we'll root for the Giants, right?
Awesome. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you very much, Bri.
All right, Ken from New Jersey, you're next. Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Hi.
First time caller, long time listener.
Great.
It's a pleasure to talk to you guys. One quick thing, and I'll let you guys go. I believe in my heart that this Giants team is perfect, 100%, just the way it is. We don't need any free agents, but we have to stay healthy. I believe that without at least Beeson or Kennard or Beckham or Randall, at least one of those four on the field, we do not win this game on Monday. I don't know. I'm in Eagles territory over here, so I catch flack every year, especially since Chip Kelly's been in.
I got you.
I'm really nervous about Monday night, but you know what? Let them wear those black jerseys, and hopefully we can stuff them right down their throats this year, and I won't have to listen to all that crap from all their fans. But like everybody else said, David, I wish you would put on a uniform and get out there and, you know, do your thing, buddy. But it's just not going to happen, I guess.
No,
I'll be happy to give you a week's pay for it. I'll give you my paycheck.
I appreciate it, Ken. Thank you. But you know what? I love your positive attitude, but I couldn't think that you're more right on that. Only having one of those four key contributors to this football team, not only what they do statistic-wise, what they do just X's and O's and execution-wise and what they bring day in and day out, it's going to be an uphill battle if they don't have at least two of those four, let alone if they only have one. Great call.
Thank you so much for the phone call, Ken. Please do call again. You know, before we get to our last call, David, I just want to say we've ignored special teams.
Yes.
We shouldn't be doing that because last year the Eagles were a dominant special teams unit. They're still good this year. And as long as Sproles is back there, it's an issue.
It is, because you always talk about whether you're an offensive player looking at a defensive player looking at an offense, an overall team looking at special teams. You always say, who are the players that scare you? Darren Sproles is the player that scares you because of his versatility, because of his ability to have that big home run where he just is elusive. He cuts across the grain. Mm-hmm. He's small. He's low to the ground. He has leverage. And he has been their most valuable player this season, bar none.
Yep.
He's their best player on offense. He extends drives. He catches out of the backfield. He runs out of the backfield. He lines up in slot. He'll walk them out. They put him in all different positions just because they know that defenses have to adjust to Darren Sproles.
And if that's not bad enough, their coverage teams are good, too.
Yes, they are.
So, last call on the show is Abdul from Minnesota. Hello.
Hey, guys. Yeah, I just opened the paper and saw that Prince is gone for a few weeks. That was one of my biggest fears, you know, because we were so thin at cornerback going into this year. So
sure.
I hope whoever comes next could show up on Monday. I was thinking about, you know, Eli's, you know, position on the quarterback hierarchy. And one thing you noticed about the good quarterbacks, it doesn't really matter who they're throwing to. They make them good. If you look at Brady for years has been throwing to a bunch of no-names. You know, and
right.
Same thing with, you know, the top quarterbacks. So I think this week could be, you know, kind of a good test for Eli to see if he could, you know, produce with, you know, less than stellar talent out there. And, you know, if he gets paid for that, you know, he gets paid as well as the top quarterbacks. Let's just see if he has the talent to do that. You know, trust me, I want Beckham. I want Randall. But, if you know, I also
good
don't
plan.
Want to rush them back and hurt us for later on in the year. So, you know, this could be kind of falling Eli to raise the level of his other players out there.
And
what do you think about that?
I agree with you, and I've seen it done before. You know, one of the greatest things for me, you know, even when I was a player and even now as an analyst when I come and work the Giants games, before each and every game, Eli goes out there with all the wide receivers and they run the route tree. They go through each and every route, you know, pitch and catch. They're getting their footwork down. They're getting their timing down. They're going through everything. And one of the coolest things that always really stuck to me is after each one of those, they all clap hands as a group. They all walk by.
Bye.
But Eli always says something extra to each player. And it's specific to each guy. And it's a little motivation factor, an uplifting thing. This, well, it's going to be a day for you. You had a great week of practice, whatever it is. But he finds that way to get the confidence out of his wide receivers so that they relax and just play football. And this offense is perfect for that because it's quick, it's up-tempo, he gets rid of the ball quick, and what it does is for these young players who may be playing, whether it's Davis or whether it's Harris, who's more of a returner than a wide receiver, it lets them be aggressive and it lets them be on the attack instead of being patient. Okay, I'm looking through, I'm watching this coverage, I'm going here. I think the fact that the timing of this system is quicker and up-tempo, I think it actually helps these young players. But also, the confidence getting the balls thrown to you from Eli Manning, that's bar none one of the most critical factors in any game.
I would add one other thing about that. Thanks so much for the call. We appreciate it. Please do call back again to the show. I would add one other thing before we go, David. In terms of the wide receiving core, even if those guys are down, and don't get me wrong, the Giants want them, obviously.
Yes.
But Donnell has done stand-up slot work
before. Has.
He's done that before. Mm-hmm. We did talk about how they might want to utilize him, but he can do some of that. And Vereen can also go in the slot.
Yes, he can.
So there are other targets besides the traditional wide receivers that Eli can use. God knows he used those two guys on the winning drive the other day.
Yes, he did. And you know, when you can do that and extend those guys and put them out in the slot and run the little 2 or 3 yard stop, it's almost an extension of the running game.
Yeah.
Because if you can keep moving the chains 2 or 3 yards a clip, that allows you in third down to be in those 3rd and 4 to 6s instead of the 3rd and longs.
David, it's been a fun hour.
Always. Paul, it's been more than 1 hour. We've been together all day.
I know. You got to watch our MSG show every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Of course, this week a little different because of that Monday night game. Hey, don't forget, Big Blue Kickoff Live here on Giants.com, Monday to Friday, 12 noon Eastern time to 1 o'clock, 201-939-4513. Write it down. Give us a call. We'll see you next time.